You're listening to Our Two Cents with the team from SGL Financial, building wealth for life. Steve Lewitt is the president of SGL Financial and Gabriel Lewitt is the CEO. They're here to discuss all the latest in financial news, trends, strategies, and more.
Good morning, and welcome to March.
Yeah, it is March, right?
Yes, it is.
I thought today was February 29th.
You know, all week long I've been adding dates to various tasks and things and follow-up trackers and stuff that I use, and I kept doing, 2-29, mm-hmm. for a follow-up date.
Nope.
And it would throw all these errors in Excel, and I'm like,
What's going on here? Right.
Oh, yeah. Only 28 days in February this year at least.
Yep.
So welcome to March. Welcome to the show. This is Gabriel and Steve here with you from the studio.
From the studio at the office.
At the office, yes. And we do have a great view of a nice sunny day, believe it or not.
Yeah, 50 degrees. I'm excited about spring coming.
Actually, I have the great view. You have the view through the reflection of the glass.
Yeah, I can see it.
You can see it, which is good.
Yeah.
But we hope you're doing great, and we've got a good show lined up for you. So thanks for joining us. We're going to go ahead and kick into gear here for you. So today we're going to talk about a handful of different topics. Last couple episodes we did a little deeper dive into Monte Carlo's income planning, a handful of other unique topics there. So if you haven't listened to those for any reason, make sure you go back and check them out. But we thought we would do a little bit of a scattering here of different topics just to make today's show a little bit more interesting.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
So take us away.
Well, I know you know what they are already, too, so don't spoil the thunder.
I will not say a word.
Okay, so we're going to start.
It's all yours.
We're going to start off today with two quotes just for a little bit of fun, okay? I thought these quotes were interesting. Sometimes when I look up quotes, I think that they're some good ones, some great ones, and some not so good ones, so I've got some fun ones here for you today. So this one's from, you'll know him, Bill Murray.
I like Bill Murray.
Groundhog Day. That's what everybody knows him for.
One of my favorite pictures.
All right. He says his quote here, and it is financially related, so hang tight. The best way to teach kids about taxes is by eating 30% of their ice cream.
I love it. Or more. How about 50% of their
maybe
ice cream?
35% for federal and 5% more of the ice cream for state.
Yeah, and if you do that every year and just keep taking a bigger bite out every year.
I do that, every night when my kids have their dessert, I say, I'm taking 30% for taxes.
Right. Thanks, Dad.
I just thought that was a good one. Yep. Okay. And then the second one I got for you today is the world is divided into two groups, the people who do things and the people who get the credit.
Isn't that amazing?
Dwight Morrow, I'm not sure who Dwight Morrow is, it said he was an American businessman.
Yep.
But I thought those were two fun ones just to kick off our show here for you today.
Yeah. Well, that, you
get
know,
a chuckle.
That especially in politics. You know, it's like an old president could inherit a great economy that all of a sudden takes off and the new president gets all the credit while all the work was done by the guy before him and stuff like that.
Oh, you're trying to go into politics?
No.
I see what you're doing.
No.
No, let's not do that.
It's just how credit gets pushed off to different people that may not necessarily have anything to do with what's going on.
Yeah. And, you know, these shows that we produce, I mean, I put together these fantastic agendas. Producer Katie definitely, I'm kidding. Producer Katie does a lot of work.
Did you notice Producer Katie's, hold on, wait a second. This is more important. Did you notice the color of Producer Katie's nails today?
I didn't. But I can see them now. They're bright pink.
Bright pink. She's headed to Mexico.
Oh, very nice.
So she's wearing Mexico-ish colors.
No, actually, I really try not to take. I really make that a goal of mine because you see all the movies where the boss takes all the credit for the stuff that the other people do in the hard work does. And so I want to give Producer Katie big props here. She does a great job setting up and organizing the show here.
Absolutely.
For us.
Thank you, Kate.
All right. Okay, so I thought we would start off today in the spirit of March 1 with a little bit of financial spring cleaning.
I knew you were going to go there.
You knew it.
Yeah.
Y'all on the show probably knew it.
Yeah.
And it's the time of the year to, well, my closet and my garage.
How about your garage?
Yeah. Both need extensive amounts of spring cleaning. I've got a lot of old clothes that don't fit me anymore. I've got to really chuck them out to the clothes recycle bins you see all around, you know, where you donate the clothes.
And tell us why they don't fit you anymore.
Well, you know, because I've been
because
very...
you're a daddy.
I've been very active and fit over the winter time, right?
Yes.
That's exactly why.
Especially the holiday season.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about financial spring cleaning. So it's the time of the year when, if you haven't, it's a good time to take a look at a wide range of things related to your financial plan, setting yourself up for a great year ahead. And it's also similar to your home. It's a little bit of maintenance, right? If you leave your home unmaintained and just never get to it, it just gets dirtier and dirtier or more cluttered and less the way you want it to be. And your financial plan is very similar to that, or your retirement plan. And so what we always recommend is a handful of things that you take a look at the start of the year. And basically, you know, if you do these, you're going to be in much better shape.
And you'll have cleaner closets or cleaner that would financial be account. Financial. I don't know how to make a good analogy here.
Well, you will have a better financial plan.
Okay, yeah, good. Good.
Okay. All right, so one of the first things that you want to take a look at is one of my favorite things to talk about and other people's least favorite things to talk about, which is budgeting. Okay, so Dad, what would you recommend for updating your budget at the start of the year?
Yeah, it's what I do, Gabriel, is I go through my budget, but what I mostly do is I look for a lot of expenses that I don't know that I have. So, like when I go through my credit cards, and all of a sudden I'll see a recurring expense for something I signed up for, a subscription.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I might have $200 a month in subscriptions that I don't know about.
Whoa.
And it's like, where did they come from?
Where do they come from?
Well,
that's a lot of subscriptions.
Well, like this year already, which I've looked at, I had a music subscription that I never used, which was $10 a month. Mm. Then I had a subscription to two newspapers that were $4 a month each that I never use. And what happens for me is I see stuff that I'm interested in, and then you get on the page and it says, to read the rest of this page, you must subscribe for $4 a week or
something. The paywall.
Like the paywall. Yes. And I subscribe, and then I forget to unsubscribe.
Yep.
So
that's what they want, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then even if you want to unsubscribe, they hide the unsubscribe button. You can't even find it.
You can't find it. And then when you get to the page, then you got to go through, do you really want to unsubscribe?
So, I had one where I finally found the unsubscribe link. And then I went to the page, and it said, to unsubscribe, you must call this number.
You're right. So are you giving me a break?
So I thought that was kind of funny.
You know, that the worst is the New York Times.
I'm telling you, I
could not unsubscribe from the New York Times, because that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
I wanted, because I had two different email addresses. And I went, and you got to call the number. You call the number, you can't get a person.
Yep.
So you cannot unsubscribe from the darn thing.
Click here to unsubscribe on the website, which says, call the phone number. Call the phone number, nobody answers. This is great.
It's great. I love
good
it.
Good business model, right?
Okay, that's America.
All right. So why is the budget so important? Well, I harp on this a lot. The budget in your cash flow is the foundation of your plan. In other words, if you are spending, let's say in your plan that you did last year, it says you're spending $90,000 this year. Okay. Especially if you're in retirement and we're planning your income based around this. And then the reality is, let's say you're spending $97,000 this year. Okay. But you don't know it. So your budget that we're using in your plan is 90. You're really spending 97. A $7,000 difference times another 20, 25 years of retirement could be a huge swing in asset difference.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So really important that whatever we use to project your plan, we've got a good confidence meter on that it feels really accurate. And unfortunately, the only way to do that is continually re-reviewing your budget from time to time. Doesn't have to be every year, but it should be generally, I like to say, every year in the spring as part of your financial spring cleaning.
What I'm finding, Gabriel, is a lot of folks that we've planned for actually are not spending When they actually add up their numbers, they're saying, hey, I planned for 90 and I'm spending 75.
That happens as well. And you know what comes from that? You actually can feel better knowing that you can spend more money.
Right. So we try.
Because you might think you're spending more than you are, so you don't do something else or buy this or
exactly,
go on this trip.
Exactly.
And then you come to learn that you're actually spending less. So sometimes, any way you slice it, good comes out of this, even though I say the budget word and people look at me with like,
well,
dread
no,
in their eyes.
It is. It's a drudge. It's a drudge sitting there for 2 hours and going through every line of your credit card and your bank statements. And
I love it. Yeah. It's like my favorite thing to do.
That's not your favorite thing to do.
I do like a good glass of wine.
Yeah, you cannot convince
but
me.
But I will put the glass of wine next to me while I'm doing the budgeting, and it makes it a double win.
No, you cannot convince me or anyone listening in that this is one of your favorite things to do on any list.
I really enjoy it. Like, I don't know. I'm weird that way.
This is not my son.
Okay, let's move on. Next item on the how about consolidating financial accounts?
Guy's an alien.
So let's say you've had a few little trinky dinky accounts here and there over the last year. Who knows? You switch a job. You have this old one. You have this old IRA over there that's not doing great. You've got your main one over here. You've got another one over there. It could be a good time for you to potentially consolidate these things together and reassess while you're doing that, you know, what you're invested in and make sure you've got that cleaned up and organized.
Yeah, how many people, Gabriel, do we meet that have 18 different bank accounts with different CDs?
My record is 24 different accounts, like 12 little IRAs and non-qualified.
Well,
you know,
they gave me
10,000 here, 5,000 here, 30,000 there, 14,000.
Well, they gave me $50 to open the account.
Yeah,
so
just
give me $100.
All over the place. But yeah, starting to pull those together, simplify. The question is really, what's the point of having that many different accounts?
Yeah.
Is it really worth the hassle and tracking all them? Not to mention the tax forms, guys.
Oh, yeah, right.
That many
exactly.
different accounts.
Yep.
I hate logging into different companies for tax forms, so the fewer that I have, the better.
Mm-hmm.
One of the advantages of consolidating and cleaning those up.
I like that one.
So that's another good one for you.
It's on the top of my enjoyment list.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Okay, next.
With a glass of wine.
I think you're making fun of me here.
Would I do that?
Yeah. So the next one is related, but then once you've consolidated those, or either way, looking at your asset allocation. Now, we do this, of course, for you if you're a client of ours, but if you're not a client of ours, your asset allocation can shift out of allocation, especially after years like last year.
Oh, this is a big deal.
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, if you look at the data is always changing, so your asset allocation kind of has to understand that. Not that you're trying to outguess the market, but I'll give you an example. Like, it's projected now that international and small emerging markets will outperform the U.S. over the next 10 years. I mean, that's all over the place.
Yeah, and folks, we're going to get into that actually as the second part of our show here in just a minute.
Oh, Ari? I didn't realize that. So did I blow it?
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, but that's because that's part of asset allocation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to look at that kind of stuff because if you're heavily in U.S. growth and international is where the action is, you're behind the game.
Well, even just, you know, even without thinking of new asset classes, which we'll get into, if you have a certain, let's say you had 50% stocks and 50% bonds last year in your portfolio, stocks went down more than bonds also went down, your portfolio may no longer look like a 50-50.
Too much bond. Now you got a 40-60.
Well, it's out of allocation because sometimes people know how to rebalance on their own. Sometimes it's done automatically. But a lot of times people don't, and then their portfolio gets out of alignment, and then you want to do something called rebalancing. So that's another thing to take a look at here as you're going through your spring cleaning checklist.
And folks, that's called portfolio drift.
Drift,
where your portfolio starts one way, and little by little it morphs into a different portfolio, more aggressive or more conservative than you really want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, another one here is I like to think of it as organizing all your insurances.
Oh, I love that word. You are like doing such exciting things for our clients.
Oh gosh,
they're so excited.
Let me
I can feel their enthusiasm coming through.
Let me ask you this.
Wow.
Do you get excited organizing your closet?
I actually do.
Oh, please. So
you know, I got all my shirts like by color.
So that's how I feel about, like, I got all my categories, yeah, my financial categories by category.
It's,
you know?
Not top on my enjoyment list. It's, I guess it feels good, but it's not like, hey, I can't wait to go home.
Do you
do
enjoy
that.
Cleaning out your garage?
I do. I can't wait for someone to come and help me.
Your son in college, you mean? Your younger son in college?
Nobody's coming to help.
Yeah. I think you're implying me to come help you organize.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I would agree with you. Those things aren't on anybody's...
But they're important.
They're important. Yeah. Just like, and same with your financial plan. Like, folks, we get it. You don't want to sit down and on your Saturday here and organize your insurance. I don't think you do, at least.
You don't, but you.
But it's good, right?
You have to.
And I'm going to throw another one on here. You mentioned subscriptions, but I'm going to put on things like your Comcast bill, because this is on my list to do because they keep raising. I don't know what it is. I swear on my soul here. Like 6-7 months ago, I signed up. It was $95 a month, and my last two bills have been $180.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I get a message that says your data is slightly over. Okay. Yeah. $100 a month over? Like, come on. Like, what is this stuff?
Yeah, electric bills, I do not understand, because all of a sudden it'll double.
Well, that's energy costs right now.
It might be because someone came to your house and read your meter or something like that. I don't know.
Well, so you want to take a look at, you know, all these things, insurance costs, or, you know, as you go through, we talk about it. If you haven't done it in a while, it's good to call up all the other insurance companies and pit them against each other, because that's their game. They raise rates, and then they have new intro rates, and unfortunately, you got to know how to play that game, keep your bills down,
and it's time consuming. You know, and we want to go out and do other stuff, but you know, by doing the spring cleaning, you're talking about, you know, little bits of money every month, maybe $100, $200 a month, or you're talking about over a long term, hundreds of thousands of dollars that should be in your pocket that isn't because you didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah. And the last but not least spring cleaning item we're going to cover here today, because there arguably are more, but these are the big ones, is just, you know, reorganizing your overall financial plan.
Yes.
Okay, which many of these other things we talked about flow into your asset allocations, your accounts, your budget is, of course, a huge one. And then taking that time to re-update your financial plan and your projections, what we call a plan tracker. So you're always, it's kind of like your GPS signal. When you look at a map, you get that little dot that shows you where you are. People like that.
But it also shows you where the traffic jam is up ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're in a mall, it shows you the big dot. When you look at the map, you are here.
You are here, right.
Right, yeah. People like that. With that map without the you are here button is not very helpful. And so when you look at your plan, it's exactly what it does. It shows you are here, right, and here's where you're going. And here's the risks, the traffic jams along the way. So that's the benefit you're trying to get out of here is a real-time understanding of where you are as of this year, and the spring cleaning time is a great time to do it.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed.
Well said.
So if we can help you with that, of course, that's part of what we do for you. As an SGL financial client, we're going to help guide you through those things and keep you on point there. But if we can't help you and you're not a client yet, you're interested in working together, of course, give us a call at 847-499-3330, and we'd love to talk with you.
We would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So what I want to talk about next is what you were talking about just a little bit ago, which is asset allocation.
Mm.
Okay. So some new data has come out recently, folks, from Vanguard. And Vanguard's not alone, but many companies do this. They put out something called a capital market assumption, mm-hmm. Very fancy name. And basically what it is it tells you various asset classes, and as of the current economic environment, what does their research team believe that those asset classes will do over the next typically 10-year period?
Yeah, so all money, good money managers have historical returns, Gabriel, and then they have forward-looking returns. So, for example, the S&P historically is 10%, let's say, but forward-looking, I think the estimate is about 6.5.
Well, so historical meaning over, like, 70, 80, 90 years, right, whatever time frame you're using, the forward lookings are not that far. It's typically 10.
10 years,
okay.
Right.
Okay. And so it's important if you're out there realizing that the next 10 years may be very different than the last 70 years from a expected return perspective.
Yeah, so I was sitting with a client, might have been yesterday. Boy, it seems like a long time ago.
Busy day?
Oh my gosh, it seems like a long time ago. It might have been yesterday. And he had bought, this wasn't a potential client, and he had purchased a S&P index.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you expect that to give you over time? And he said, 9.5%. He says, that's what it's done historically.
Yeah.
So we talked.
And he's not wrong. You know, 9.5%, depending on the exact range you use.
Going backwards.
Yep.
But then we talked about forward-looking returns, that because you could have 13 years, like between 2000 and 2013, when the S&P made nothing.
Yeah. The key word is it's averaged 9.5%, 10%. Averages means there's periods higher than that. There's periods and years lower than that. And if you happen to be caught over the next 10 years in the lower portion of that, your average over that shorter term duration will be a lot different.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so let me read some quotes from this article for you. So this is the headline. Of course, I love the words that they use here. All headlines are like this. But Vanguard sees global equities trouncing U.S. stocks over the next decade.
Mm.
Okay.
I love trouncing.
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 Yes, that's the part I was going to key in on there for you. Again, folks, whether it's on the positive or the negative side,
you think
right?
That's an exaggeration?
I mean, it's just the way they get clicks, right? Okay, so intro here. Vanguard chief global economist Joe Davis is forecasting that global and emerging market equities will outperform U.S. equities by about 2% over the next decade.
Yeah, that's a huge shift in where the growth has come from in the stock market,
mm-hmm.
which has been U.S., has been dominant over the past 10 years.
Yep, so Davis here said that they predict Vanguard annualized global equity returns, not including U.S. stocks, to be in the 6.7 to 8.7% range, while he forecasts that U.S. equity, okay, U.S. stocks, will return between 4.4 to 6.4% over that same 10-year period.
And he's not the only one.
Yep.
You've got Dimensional says
the
same thing.
Schwab
says the same thing.
Fidelity has some. You know, all the big investment banks have capital market assumptions.
Yeah, and Savant also, their forecast for U.S. large is in that same range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean for you? Well, we talked about asset allocation, rebalancing, looking at what you're holding. A lot of people, if you happen to have an all U.S. focus over the last 10 years, that would have served you well. Okay, because they outperformed internationals. But again, we're looking forward now based on these capital market assumptions, and we're seeing that internationals are going to, by all accounts, based on valuations, key research from all sorts of investment banks and firms, likely outperform U.S. So the key there is if you have no internationals in your portfolio, it might be a time for you to reconsider doing that.
Well, but then, you're trying to time the asset class movement.
That's if you went all international. Let's say you had U.S. today and you said, okay, Gabe and Steve said internationals are going to trounce. Actually, we didn't say that. Vanguard said that. Okay, to clarify. But let's say you said they heard on the podcast they're going to trounce. So I'm going to sell all my U.S. and buy all international. Good idea or bad idea?
Bad idea.
Care to explain more?
Because you don't know. U.S. could continue. You just don't, and you don't know when the turn is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like a lot of folk, here, I'll give you an example. Who was it that I was talking to? That might have been yesterday, too. I'm having a tough recollection morning in terms of time. But we were talking about the performance of the S&P, okay, I know what it was. I did a portfolio analysis for a client.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got it. So his portfolio is 90% U.S.
Yeah.
And he said, well,
not uncommon.
And my portfolio outperformed your portfolio.
Yep.
And I said, well, yes, of course. But your portfolio is more dangerous than my portfolio because over time I'm going to win. Because there's going to come a time, which it is now, where U.S. will underperform the rest of the market.
Or an all-U.S. portfolio, as we always say, in 2000, 2013, would have drastically underperformed internationals or diversified portfolio.
Absolutely.
So you're right. It is a more dangerous, prone to long drought periods, potentially, whereas when you diversify, because the key is, folks, market timing is risky, right? Anytime you do it, whether it's market timing a stock or saying, you know, based on Vanguard's research here, we're going to sell all U.S., go all international? Because people ask me that. I say, well, okay, should we just sell all our U.S. and go international then based on all this research?
No.
And like, no. Exactly, okay? So, you know, forecasts are still forecasts, and you want to be prepared no matter what. But it is an important consideration based on all the available data that you may want to consider, if you don't already, which, of course, clients of ours, you do, have an international allocation to your portfolio mix.
And I would just add one thing. I know you want to go on, but I would add one thing onto that is that the barometer that most people use is the S&P 500.
Yeah.
Well, that's 500 large cap stocks. That's not a diversified portfolio. So
it's a lightly
Slightly diversified. So when folks come into us, and you know, folks come into us and they say, well, how did you do compared to the S&P?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we have a diversified portfolio, so we have a different benchmark.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we beat the S&P because it is diversified.
Just always depends on the time frames too, right? And, yeah. And what you're comparing, short term, 1 year, long term, 20 years.
Yep.
Et cetera. So just keep that in mind, some interesting data there. Now, a couple other data points from this article I also think is interesting just to share with you since we're here. Same article, same chief economist, Joe Davis. We also see a good chance of a U.S. recession sometime this year. This is Vanguard's guy. Mm-hmm. We continue to assign a high probability of a mild recession in 2023, although the odds of continuing economic growth, a.k.a. a soft landing, have risen. They say.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure those two go together as well as they would think because Fed will continue to rise.
Well, let me, raise interest so rate. As that, we do, this is Joe Davis, we continue to expect the Fed to increase its rate target by a total of 50 additional basis points over the next two meetings in March and May to a range of 5% to 5.25%, and they believe they'll keep it there through late year end.
Yeah, so I'm down with that projection.
You're down with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I think that it's a midline. It's taking the mid road. It's saying, look, I would think there'll be some recession, and there are a lot of indicators there could be. You know, it's so problematic though, this economy and this market. It's really hard to go out on a limb and project anything.
Yep, and so last but not least here, Davis, Vanguard's, again, chief economist, expects U.S. aggregate bonds to pay a projected 4 to 5% over the next 10 years, Treasury bonds 3.6 to 4.6%, and TIPS 3% to 4%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, interesting stuff there. All right.
Yeah.
Anywho's.
Much more interesting than doing a budget, I would say.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah. I guess it does.
It does, yeah. Alrighty, so with our last couple minutes here of our show here today, wanted to ask, well, just one get-to-know-you question to Mr. Stephen Lewitt, because we got to know Monte Carlos the last couple episodes, but not you.
Okay. My most exciting part of the show.
I know it is.
Self-revelation.
Okay, are you ready? This is a deep question.
All right, I guess.
Get prepared.
All right, I'm ready.
Would you rather? By the way, I play a lot of would you rather games with my kids.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
But theirs are like the stuff they come up with. I don't know.
That's so much fun though.
Okay. Would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef?
Ho ho ho, ho 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 ho. Well.
And the maid does not also cook.
Oh, the maid doesn't cook.
And the chef does not clean. So you get to pick one or the other.
That's kind of hard. I think I would like, oh my gosh. I don't know.
But the chef would also go get the groceries for you as a side note.
Yeah. So I don't have to worry about food or anything. But on the other hand, I don't have to worry about my shirts and cleaning. This is a tough one. I think because I enjoy cooking more than cleaning, I would like the personal maid, even though I would love to have a personal chef. But I do not like, just like I don't like doing my budget. I don't go home and say, I can't wait to clean.
Hey, you're a financial advisor. You should love doing your budget.
I do, but it's sort of. Let me put it this way. I'd rather do my budget than clean my house.
Yeah. Let's see. Producer Katie, you won't be able to hear her answers. What would you say? We're going to put... she said without hesitation.
No hesitation.
Maid. Right? Yep. That's because you do like to cook. Yeah, you're a chef at heart as well.
And what about you?
Me? I think I would go for the personal chef.
Really?
I would.
I can understand
that. If I have the time, I don't totally hate cleaning because I generally clean up all the time just as I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have the kids' tornadoes, a.k.a. tornadoes, in the house all day long, my house would be very, very – it would stay spotless.
Yeah.
Just by default because nothing would ever move. So I would much rather have the
– Right now, everything moves.
Oh, my gosh. Can't find the remote ever.
I went down into your basement when I was visiting
over
the
weekend.
You can
never find anything in the
house. Boy, you've accumulated, man.
Oh, we sure have. So I would go with the personal chef.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a great question.
Good healthy breakfast meal. I don't have time for that yet. They can get up early while I'm getting ready and start cooking.
I get you. I get you on that, especially with three kids because each one wants a different meal.
Yep. Yes, they do. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. I got a few here to choose from. What's the worst haircut you ever had? We're gonna go with this one.
Okay, so you're going to love this.
I've seen some older pictures.
Yeah.
Of you.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I had hair down to my shoulders.
Uh huh.
And I was a professional tennis player, which was really cool with the headband and everything. It's just that was the look.
And you had those socks with the three stripes pulled up to your knees.
Absolutely, and the little skinny shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a wooden racket. This was in 1833, folks. My friend owned a beauty parlor, and he says, "Come in and I'll get you a real haircut."
Yep.
I said, "All right," and he curls my hair. I wound up. You saw the picture of me.
Yes, I've seen this.
And I've got a head full of curly hair.
Wow.
And he was a good friend, so I. So for 3 months, I'd have to go back every month and have my hair curled.
But what's funny is when you look back at old pictures of yourself with these, what you say now are bad haircuts, at the time, you must have looked at yourself and been like, I think I look okay.
Yeah, it was kind of cute. You know, like, it was kind of pretty good.
It was
kind of cute, actually, I think. But that was my worst haircut, I would say.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, well, there's some photos of me when I was a kid. I had two phases that I didn't love. Actually, I never was able to find, I felt like a good haircut until I got older enough and went to a more pricey hairstylist, and then I think I figured it out since then. But so back in the day, I sort of had two phases. One, when I was really young, you guys, for whatever reason, gave me a bowl cut.
Everybody had a bowl cut.
It was terrible looking.
You were so cute.
Nobody looks good with a bowl cut.
Everybody would pinch your cheeks.
Oh, gosh. I look back at this photo, I'm like, ugh,
yeah.
Bowl cut.
Oh, it was so cute, folks.
Legit salad bowl, just straight around.
I'll find a picture.
All right. The second was when I was in my college years, I was trying to save money, too cheap to go to the hair. Even like the really cheap hairs, I just buzzed it myself.
Uh-oh.
Buzz. Army cut, straight up.
Buzz boo.
And I look back and I'm like, at the time I was like, I thought it looked all right. Now I look back and I'm like,
oh my gosh.
No good. Yeah. So yeah, those would be my two.
Self-induced pain.
Yeah. All right, our friends. Well, thank you for joining us here today. That's what we've got for you. Hopefully you had a little bit of fun on our journeys here today, and we wish you a very happy spring and warm weather ahead. So happy March to you, and stay well, and we'll talk to you on the next show. I forgot my call out here, but if you need our help, call us 847-499-3330 or sglfinancial.com or email info@sglfinancial.com.
Good job. Stay well, everybody.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Our Two Cents with Steve and Gabriel Lewitt. For any questions about your finances, give SGL a call at 847-499-3330 or visit us on the web at sglfinancial.com. And be sure to subscribe to join us on next week's episode.
Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Insurance and other financial products are offered separately through individually licensed and appointed agents.